Norton, I'm probably the most fortunate guy in the whole world to have a friend like you.
You're
one of the nicest guys I know. The guy's a pretty nice guy, ain't he? One of the best guys in the whole world.
You better write that down, Ralph, before you forget it.
Testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Johnny, here?
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conte and Louis Fats.
Welcome everyone. Welcome fellow raccoons and raccoonettes. Hello all you hurricanes and best pals. You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conte, and my pal Louis Fats.
Yeah, over here.
The only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. And we record in the non-productive studios in Clifton, New Jersey, and that's also where you can hear the show. If you go to non-productive.com, that'll get you right to their page, and we are one of many shows on the non-productive platform. And another thing, we just have a brand new Facebook page, a fan page, the Honeymooners Podcast. So find that on Facebook and give a click and a like, and we'll probably, you know, we're not going to go crazy with it, but we'll put up episodes, and if people want to contact us, they can do that through the page. So it'll be a really good little addition to help us get this out there so we get more and more people listening. But we are in episode number 4. And how you doing today, Lou?
I'm doing good, Joe.
I know.
You're excited for number 4.
He's excited for number 4 because there's always 4 walls. Yeah. There's 4 walls. You have to understand, Louis has I've been a comic for 19 years. I've been doing a show slash, when I first started doing my radio show, it was internet radio. The word podcast hadn't even been invented yet. That's how long I've been doing this crap. But when we decided to do this, Louis is so into this, and so am I, don't get me wrong, but this is like a brand new thing for Lou.
Oh, this is the first time I'm sitting behind a mic.
Yeah.
It's never happened before.
But you have a good projected voice. You know, your voice is good. I'm surprised you never did. And you're a funny dude, and you're outgoing. So I'm surprised you never. Not that I'm saying you should have done stand up or anything, but I'm just surprised you never were like, you know, I don't know, the life of the, you were at a party or something. You know, somebody's anniversary, and then you just grabbed the mic and just started saying something.
Well, first, got to put the lampshade on my
head. Put the lampshade on your head. But. Yeah, and we've been friends for a very long time.
Long time.
Yeah, and so I'm glad that you are. And you just said right before we started, you're like, I could do a marathon of just doing this. We could just talk about this forever, and that would be great. But it would be weird to put out a 63-hour podcast. The podcast would actually be longer.
And there's probably somebody out there who would actually listen for 63 straight hours.
Of course they would. Yeah, but this would actually be longer. Yeah, you exactly. And Louis, so funny because at the time that we're recording this, episode 1 has already been out, and episode 2 and 3 will be coming out any day. And Louis is like, I've listened to episode 1 how many times?
20.
You've listened to it 20 times.
20 times.
He just keeps listening to it.
Keep listening to it.
And Louis is not like an egotistical guy by any means.
Oh, not at all.
He's just so, he's so enthralled in doing it, and he actually found it entertaining.
I did. And I also wanted to see, to hear myself.
Yes.
You know, because like I said, and I've never done this before.
I wanted to critique myself.
And I'm very tough on myself.
Right.
So, it's, you know, wasn't, that's why I actually listened to it 20 times. And actually, the 20th time, I was still laughing. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Don't even try to.
I'm not going
to
try.
Because if you try, then it won't come out right. But episode number 4, as you guys heard in the beginning, we played a couple of clips of Ralph really getting in touch with himself and realizing that Ed is not just a best friend, he's a great friend.
The greatest friend. We said this in a previous episode. Yeah. He is the greatest friend.
He's the greatest
of
friend
of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of friends, but I have like a couple of friends that, you know what, I could sit there and say, yeah, I got about 2 or 3 guys that are of the Ed Norton, you know, caliber.
Right. If you had one, you'd be...
Oh, yeah.
You're golden. You'd have one more than most people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They always say, if you come to the end of your life, and if you have, if you, on one hand, if you can count
your friends.
Count your good friends.
Good friends. Yeah, good friends.
Then you're
had
good.
A successful life.
Yeah, you've been successful. Because... yeah, money and my stand-up career is definitely not my my thing that I can roll my success at. So let's just hopefully I keep these friends. But thank you for giving us a listen, all right? Episode number 4. We'll do the trivia later. We'll give you the answer to last week, and we'll give you another question again. But like I said, Ed Norton... greatest friend of all time.
Great. You know, Joe, we spoke in the last episode about jealousy.
Right.
It was basically Ralph to Alice jealousy.
Yes.
When Ralph came up with some kind of scheme, his crazy harebrained schemes, as they always called them, and he was going to always make money of this, and he always included Norton in.
Right.
But Norton would never be jealous of Ralph making that money.
Right.
He would always be so behind him, not knowing that he's going to get some of it, but just the fact that Ralph was making it.
Right. Yeah.
And there was no jealousy there from Norton to Ralph.
No.
None whatsoever.
When he was, anytime anything happened good to Ralph, even if it just appeared to be good or if it was good, Norton was so happy selflessly.
Selflessly, yes.
For his friend.
Yes, he was. Yes,
and,
he was.
Yeah. You know, he, and not only was he was great, but, I mean, what a great companion.
Oh.
Always, he was always there for him.
Yeah, yeah. And when Ralph brought him into these wacko things, you know, like Dr. Norton and all that stuff,
right.
Norton never questioned
never
or
questioned.
Said, no, Ralph, I won't do it.
Yeah.
Only and one, Ralph only never one even episode. Asked. He right. just included him.
Right.
He knowing just, that Ed's going to go along with this.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
And he did.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Except for one. With the deciding vote. Because it was that one episode where he got mad.
He got mad. He had a little bit of pride.
Yeah. And you know what? And they threw, you know, obviously because of that episode, they wanted that to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's a comedic theme to it. So, you know, you have to go off character a little bit once in a while.
But I think when he threw him out, they made it a little bit more of a rougher throw out than normal because, you know, he hammered him a little bit, you know?
He said, he gets tossed 3 times an episode.
Right,
Why was that one so much different than the other one?
You know, he said, you know, because he said something, you're the biggest...
your biggest accent that ever happened.
Biggest
like that,
accent that ever happened. Yeah. And that's when he was like, oh, okay. And he kind of got very, you know, quiet and just said, okay, well, I'm leaving.
That's it, yeah.
And then can I just say one more thing? It's a piece of junk.
It's a piece of junk.
It's a piece of junk. Because it was there in a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, vacuum.
Which also had one of the best, you got me to really appreciate how funny the line is when he throws the oatmeal down on the floor and he takes the vacuum and the vacuum's not working, obviously. And then when Norton goes.
My favorite line.
Yeah.
Want to try it with cornflakes?
Why don't you shut up?
It's just a great line. Thinking about
everything. The timing of it. You want to try with cornflakes, Ralph? Why don't you shut up?
Yeah.
Just Ralph, boom. Why don't you shut up? Oh, it was just
great.
it makes me laugh thinking about it.
Joe, you know, you're a comedian. The timing on that was impeccable.
Stupendous.
Impeccable
it was just
timing.
Perfect. Because it would, because if he would have stopped and waited like 2 seconds and be like, yo, why don't you shut up? Because that's a moment where somebody says something so idiotic, you have to go, why don't you shut up?
Yeah.
it's what needs to be said at that moment. What a great line. I mean, I really, I didn't appreciate that line until you
favorite lines.
Just, you know, threw it at me and said, Joe, what about trying cornflakes?
I'm going to try it with cornflakes.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, think about it. It's like the vacuum cleaner's not picking up because it's oatmeal.
Right. It's not because the vacuum has a preference to cornflakes.
The only time the vacuum does work was when Ralph puts it up to his mouth. I never understood that.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Like, all of a sudden, it started working.
Yeah, it's working.
You know, apparently, the sock that was in the trumpet was in the vacuum. All right there, Gabriel.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But he was such a phenomenal friend. The character, like you said... One time when he threw him out and he was done with him.
Yeah.
And then he was hanging out with
Teddy Olbermann. The other one, when Teddy Olbermann also, he threw him out. And then Ralph thinks he's coming back. And Norton, you know, makes him go, like, no problem. Ready to go bowling with him. I'm not bowling with you. I'm bowling with my good friend, Teddy Olbermann.
Teddy
you
Olbermann.
You can go boat with, quote-unquote, Jim McKeever.
Oh, that's right. That was McKeever.
That was the McKeever one.
Right, right. That was, okay, I had the two confused.
Another one. I know which one you're talking
about.
But
that was him being mad at Norton.
Yeah.
But the one where Norton was mad at him was the deciding vote.
Deciding vote.
Because, was it McKeever? Was it McGillicuddy?
McGillicuddy's the deciding vote.
Right, right.
Couldn't spell his name, that's why.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even spell his name. And how about when he's writing, he's writing his vote in and he's erasing. What are you erasing? It's either one guy or another. And he didn't raise
it.
You know
how to spell McGillicuddy. He's down Frank.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's all in comedy and it's just part of it. It's just great.
There's no questioning why. It just, you have fun. Because when you get to a point where we're at, where you know the episodes so much, you start to dig deep, you know, why we do this, why we're doing this thing. And that's when you just kind of, and it brings you extra chuckles.
Yeah.
It brings you more laughs than you're supposed to get.
Yeah.
Because you're like, why? Why would he do that? Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not just watching him do it. Then when you think about certain things, it's just fantastic. But there's so many great examples of, like, when we, with the two clips, they were from the episode where it was Opportunity Knocks.
Yes.
And Norton gives him all the ideas, and now he's going to be his boss. And he's oblivious to the idea that he took them from him.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment he realizes, because Trixie explained it to him.
Trixie explained it to him.
He didn't even be like, hey, you know what? I was the one that, hey,
I got the job.
A bad friend could have been like, hey, you know what? That's on him.
Yeah.
How many people you would know would be like, that's
on him. Swallowed her pride.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
And that's it. Just came back down.
It's on you, pal. You should have told him that.
Yeah.
Hey, I just happened to be the one to have the nerve to do it.
Yeah.
But no, it was, oh, no way. I'm going down there, and you're coming with me, and you're going to be. And then he turns it around completely. He doesn't just say, I hope you get the job. He actually turns it around and says, hey, if I ever get a chance to work for you.
I'd be happy to work for
you.
RK.
I mean, it's the best friendship gesture you can make. And we've said it before, Ralph, when it comes to brass tacks, yes.
Yeah.
But when he's in his, you know, whatever mode he is, whether it's jealousy mode or scheming mode or trying to do something, he kind of pushes Norton a little bit to the side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, sitcom,
it's, you know,
and in 22 minutes, it all kind of gets wrapped up
and wraps up in
a beautiful bow. But yeah, I mean, there's so many examples of him being that great friend.
Yeah,
Dr. Norton
comes into Dr. Norton.
Yeah, he pretends to be a doc. He's basically committing a felony. Okay, he's impersonating a physician for his friend, so his friend doesn't go to jail because he gave the magazine the wrong info. He's
and you see how unthought that was. Like, they didn't think out anything in that.
Right.
Like, aren't you going to be questioned? They just thought they were going to walk in, hands him the check for the $5,000 back,
right.
And walks out.
Outs, yeah,
and that
exactly.
Was it. It's all over.
Right. Well, you know, maybe we'll get pictures with Dr. Nord. No, he's shy. He doesn't like pictures. I wouldn't mind a picture. Oh, that's one of the better hits when Ralph would give him like a hit in the chest or whatever. That's one of the better ones. But yeah, there's so many. I mean, think about it. We're only talking about 39 episodes, and there's so many examples of him being a phenomenal.
Well,
friend.
The one also with Bill Davis when Ralph is, you know, masquerading as the head of the bus company, and who's out there, and Ralph says, "And you will be downstairs at the door when Bill Davis gets, like, not asking him, hey, can you get off?" Actually, they never got off work.
No,
for
no.
some reason, like, they were always meeting for lunch. I could never figure that one out.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes Norton would work at night, but he was always around during the day.
They're meeting for lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I could never figure that one. Anyway, but he says, you will be downstairs. Now, Norton never questioned him.
No.
I'll be downstairs, and he brings Bill Davis up to the office.
Brings him up to the office, yep.
You know.
It's just so many things. Yeah. And even, like, the the masquerade, the costume part.
Oh, the costume part, yeah.
He made a great, valid point. Like, hey, how did I steal the idea from you when you just came to me with the idea and I already got
the costume?
The costume. Doesn't matter.
No.
You know, because he steamed.
He steamed and that was it. Yeah. Because he had a plan that he was going to win that money.
Right.
And he did.
And then Norton comes in. Yeah, this is the best. He comes in, obviously, and he's still in his gear.
He's in his sewer gear.
He's got the gas mask on. Right. He doesn't go into the locker room and change. He runs through Manhattan like a lizard man, just getting to the costume party. He doesn't take the mask off. So he must have horrified groups of people through Manhattan.
Where was the sewer? Right outside the Raccoon Lodge that he was working in? But then again, there's no rationality. It's just comedy.
Of
and,
course.
You know, when you laugh and nobody's thinking about this back then. And,
right. Because if he came in with the mask off, you would be like, oh, well, Norton's, he's here. Yeah.
And the thing is, that he's the man from space.
Right.
Ralph's idea.
You know, and then, the whole, the coming around. Everything comes around. But yeah, there's just, there's so many examples. Even the one episode where the Palomine with the ring.
Yeah.
Even though Ralph was so like that was one of the more ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The costume was a ridiculous thing where his anger towards Ed was just ridiculous. Yeah. The ring thing was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, dude. The guy got something for his boss. Trying to make a better. He's trying to better himself.
Yeah.
But he gets mad.
He gets mad.
And to me, a regular friend might have been like, you know what, dude? Done with you.
Yeah, really.
I don't need this crap from you.
Yeah.
But of course not.
That's all it was his boy. He was just trying to impress his new boss, McKeever.
Jim McKeever.
You know?
Right.
And then, like Alice said to him, you're the one that put that ring on your finger. It's your fault, Ralph.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it was a trick. He said it was a trick from Norton.
Norton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that's what he did. He planted the ring.
Yeah.
And then he put the different vibes in your head to make you want to put the ring on.
Yeah.
But that just showed how great of a friend Edward Norton was.
But actually, Ralph turned it around, too, at the end, when he goes to the hospital.
Yeah.
And he finds out Norton was hurt.
Right. You know? Which,
he was
again,
hurt. Yes, he was. You know?
Yeah.
Great character that appears at the door. That guy is phenomenal. The guy that brings the news to Ralph. That
I don't know.
I don't know who he is.
I don't know. Was he
he's like
anything?
A one, no, he's one and done.
One and done thing, yeah, right? Yeah, he was a one and done guy. He might have been like in a group shot or something. Yeah. It was just, it was great. And that was the great line where he goes, what I say about my friend Norton is one thing. How I feel about him is another.
Yeah, so.
Which shows, you know, how much,
how they feel about each other.
Well, listen, that's what we wanted to just kind of get across to you guys today. How great of a friend Ed Norton was.
And the thing, too, about Norton, as far as people just watching the show, casual fans and people like us, I've never met anyone who doesn't like Ed Norton. But there are people who don't like Ralph Cramden.
Right.
The characters.
The characters, obviously.
The characters, because people, and I was like, my sister didn't like it because she didn't like Jackie Gleason. She just didn't like that character.
Oh, okay.
That loudmouth character. She just didn't like that.
Turn your mic down just a little bit. Push it down. There you go.
So she didn't like that. She didn't like that character.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no one dislikes Ed Norton.
No. And I think Gleason made that, like, he purposely made him, like, not only the, you know, Art Carney doing a phenomenal job acting as Edward Norton, but he's the likable character.
Yeah.
You know, Gleason, you know, Ralph Cramden, I don't know if the correct word is a protagonist. Yeah. I don't know, but... Like he was there was a somewhat of a non. It's not surprising that people would say, "Yeah, I didn't really like that character."
Yeah, he don't like it because you know that loud mouth.
Yeah.
You know, was that really, you know, that threatening with harm to Al. You know,
absolutely,
we talk about that too.
Right.
But the thing, Ed Norton is just that likable. It's like the yin and the yang. You know,
they just
he's the balance, and he balances out Ralph.
Yeah.
It brings it into a balance.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're so, two ends of the opposite, you know, so opposite.
Yeah. I mean, I just found out yesterday because I was talking to my sister. My sister's like a really funny person, and my sister, you know, she's a pretty cool chick. And so I told her about the, you know, the Honeymooner podcast. I'm like, hey, have you checked out any podcasts? She's like, yeah, I was never a big fan of the show. I'm like, and I'm still related to you?
Yeah.
Like, is there any way I could just cut the ties from this? And she was like, yeah, I just never really, and she said the same thing. This is odd that you're saying this, but she said, yeah, I just never really liked the Ralph character.
They don't like the Ralph Cramden character.
Right.
You know, to that loud mouth. And people just turns people off. Some people off, you know.
Yeah.
But and then the Ed Norton comes in and it's just the total opposite.
Yeah.
Total opposite.
And I think that's what makes Audrey Meadows such a, or Alice, such a likable character. Yeah. Because basically you're watching this guy who's rough around the edges, if I may say the least.
At least, yeah, that's like.
But he's got this
wife.
The layman's
way of putting it.
Yeah. He's got this wife that, again, balances him out. And she's such a great beam of light that he's drawn to, that you see, as rough as he is, they bring out the best in him.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't bring out the best in himself.
Oh, no.
Ed and Alice bring out the best.
Yeah, Ralph is so flawed. He's
right.
So flawed.
Yeah. Which we're going to do a whole episode on the whole list when he does Young Man...
Young Man with a Horn,
right? Which, oddly enough, and I'm going to give some plug, some thanks to some of the Facebook groups, some of these Facebook groups that I'm part of. The number one least liked episode was Young Man with a Horn.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
strange to me.
Man.
Strange to me. And obviously, it's not people saying they didn't like it, but if they had to, you know, it's like, you know, which one of your kids, it's not like you wouldn't love one of your kids.
Yeah.
You're just like, all right, if I have to put an order.
Order, yeah, you know,
it doesn't mean I don't love little Charlie.
Yeah, like the last one on the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love him, you
but
know.
Young Man with a Horn, one of the most, the least liked episodes out of like hundreds and hundreds of huge fans, which I found odd. But we're going to do one episode all about that list.
That list.
Because one day when I was watching it, as it starts and then it fades away, I paused it.
Pause it.
And then I was writing all of that. And some of it's really hilarious.
Of it right off with,
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to go through all that because there was some really good comedic things and then some stuff that, obviously, they just did for the show.
But the horn scene is great in that.
Oh, yeah.
The horn scene's phenomenal.
Yeah. We're going to get into that because I have a whole theory on that horn scene about him because he did play the trumpet.
Yeah.
So he was trying to do it wrong and he actually hit the high note the first time.
Yeah.
He hit the high note the first time. He wasn't supposed to, but he was so good.
I love the part also where Norton's playing like this reveille.
It's right.
Like 3 inches from Ralph's ear.
Yes.
And Ralph's just sitting here with the pencil. I believe he's got the pencil.
He's
on
got
his
the
chin.
Pencil in his nose.
In his nose.
Because
okay.
I remember pausing it. I have a picture of that. And it's a great picture with the horn in his ear. And he's just sitting there. And the pencil is like kind of pushed up into his nostril. Right. Not in his nostril,
but
right there.
Probably on the side of his nose.
So and he's just got this great look. I'll send you that picture. It's so great.
I just love Norton. It's like 3 inches from his ear.
Yeah. All right. What about the trivia? Let's get the trivia.
Okay. We'll give the answer to the previous week's trivia.
Yes. Which we know what the.
Addresses. Okay.
Yes.
We lost our.
Yeah.
You gotta remember we have nothing written down.
Yeah.
Here.
We have not. All I did was write down the few people that I want to thank. That's it.
We have nothing written down.
We
wing this. It's all coming to you live, not on film. So the answer to the I'll give the question again. The trivia question was. There's a known address that they use throughout the whole series.
And which is actually his real
real home address, where he grew up in Brooklyn. But in one episode, he gives a different one, and that's the one where they hire the maid when they're at the employment agency.
Employment agency, right.
And he always asks the same question, what's your address?
What's your address, right.
So the answer to the trivia question is the two addresses are 728 Chauncey Street and 328
Chauncey Street. And 328 Chauncey Street is the one that's been used throughout the whole
throughout the whole
series.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But one time He said 728.
For some reason, we don't
He know. Was probably sauced.
So we're probably,
he was probably hammered. Because that's what makes it even brilliant, because he was hammered sometimes and could do live television, you know, recording it live.
And there are things within the series that are, there's a lot of inconsistencies through the series.
Right.
If you really want to take it apart.
And like, we're going to do a whole episode.
When he loses his job in his story, he was there for 17 years. Then in another episode, it says he was there for 10 years.
Right.
So there's inconsistencies, but you know.
It's all good.
But back then, it was like, if you only saw it live, and if you missed it, you missed it.
You missed it.
You couldn't tape it. There was no reruns back then.
Right.
You didn't start rerunning them until 10 years after.
Yep.
So if you missed it, you missed it.
Yep.
So, okay, so this week's trivia involves Ed Norton.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the trivia, Ed Norton was a stickball coach.
Ah, okay.
What was the name of the team?
Mm, very good. That's a good one because I can't think of it right now. All I know is that when they said Steve Austin, I'm like, oh, it's the guy from It's $6 Million Man, Steve Austin.
He was the first one to get the measles.
Yes.
Should leave me with the mess, stickball coach.
Stickball coach.
So that's a trivia. It's the name of Norton's stickball team.
Right. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody for giving us a listen. Tell your friends about it. Share it on Facebook and social media. Let people know. I want to thank a couple of special people and groups, a couple of Honeymooners Facebook groups that have been really, really great in helping us share this and been taking a listen and giving us some real good feedback. It's the Honeymooners fan page. Then there's the Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge. And then the Honeymooners, the classic 39 episodes. Those three Facebook fan group pages have been very good to us. We thank you guys.
Give them their props.
And also, Mr. Edward Lillywhite Norton on Facebook. He's got the original Honeymooners podcast, but it's a Honeymooners trivia podcast. And he's done like 50 so episodes. He hasn't done it in a year. He's actually, I don't know if it's because we got his juices going again, but he's going to be doing another episode in like July.
Good for him.
And we'll also be listening to that and we'll promote that. And he also does another show that he just started in May called Raccoon Lodge Radio.
Oh.
Which it's like like he's doing like 50s style radio, play some songs and then some commercials, and then it's all references to the show. They give away they have a raccoon of the month or whatever, and but definitely give that a listen. And also, I want to thank our pal Doug Nelson, who if you hear the intro in the beginning of the show. And also the video, he is the great voice guy that did the intro for us. So I just want to thank Doug, who has a show called the Mr. Nailson Show, Nails In Show. Give him a listen, subscribe, and that is it. So we will see you guys next time. And also I do a show, it's called the Conti and Kenny Show, with my pal Kenny Michaels and Joey Image, and it's on every Monday night on morelikeradio.com, and you can subscribe to that show. We've been on the air for like 300 years, so we've been doing it forever. But that's it. We'll see you guys next time.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.